We will be in Daniel chapter 10, going through the whole chapter this morning. So we're getting to the end of Daniel, and this is Daniel's last vision. Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. By way of introduction, the two chapters after this describe the vision. And this chapter describes the process of getting the vision to Daniel. So it's kind of an interesting chapter. So we'll actually read about the vision next week, but this chapter describes this process of getting the vision to Daniel. According to verse 14, Daniel had been praying for more information on what would happen to the Jews in the last days. Remember that he had already seen visions about this that troubled him, and he wanted more understanding, and this is the answer to his prayer. It isn't wrong to pray for God to give you a deeper understanding of the situations of life. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So when we're going through something and we don't understand, when we're going through a trial, it is perfectly right to pray for wisdom, to pray for God to give us an understanding to know what to do. But Daniel was troubled about Israel's future. Terrible things were going to happen to his people before God delivered them, and he wanted to understand all of that. He wanted a deeper knowledge. And so we'll begin in verses 1 through 3 with a deep look. A deep look. "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision." So the Bible says he understood. He got the understanding he was searching for, and that's a good thing. And this verse also says the time appointed was long. And Walbert said the implication is that the period in view is a long and strenuous one involving great conflict and trouble for the people of God. And indeed, if you look at Israel's history all the way through the tribulation at the end, it's been a history of struggle and problems. And so that's what this is predicting. And this all happened in the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia. Now, Daniel 1:21 says, and Daniel continued even to the first year of King Cyrus. So Daniel continued in royal service to the first year of King Cyrus, but he didn't die after that. He still lived. He was an old man. But he was probably retired by the third year of Cyrus. So during his retirement, Daniel sought better understanding of Israel's future. And learning about God is a great thing to do in your retirement. When you have more time, either you have more time or you don't. Some of you people are more busy than people at work. But at any rate, it's a good thing to do during your retirement, is to learn more about God. And that's what Daniel did. He sought God. Now, verse 2 says, "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. So for 3 weeks, he had been in a state of sadness. He was seeking to know the answer to his prayer, but God had not answered, so he thought. How did Daniel mourn? So verse 3 says, "I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." So Daniel said, "I didn't eat bread that I would enjoy, no delicacies of the king's court. I didn't eat anything that I really liked, no fine food. I didn't take care of my personal appearance, no anointing with lotion to protect the skin against the dryness of the desert heat." He was doing a type of fasting. Barnes says that he gave himself up to a course of life which would be expressive of deep grief Nature prompts to this when the mind is overwhelmed with sorrow. Not only do we become indifferent to our food, but it requires an effort not to be indifferent to our dress and to our personal appearance. And if you've ever known somebody to go through a depression, you know that a lot of times when a person is severely depressed, that they don't bathe, they don't take care of their appearance, they don't eat properly, all those things happen. And so Daniel is mourning, and so he's not really taking care of himself in the way that he normally would. And so the question has been brought up, was he really fasting? But of course he ate. He doesn't say that he didn't eat. He just said he didn't eat pleasant things. So we can't technically call this a fast from food. But since he is abstaining from certain foods and pleasures of life, it's a type of a fast. He's seeking God and he is in mourning, so he doesn't feel like eating good food. And now we see deep vision in verses 4 through 10. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, so this would have been the 24th of Nisan, and the Hiddekel is the Tigris River. Some of the translations translate it Tigris, but it's the Tigris River. And so Daniel has had a deep look, and he's searching for God, and now he sees this vision from God. He's going to see a vision. And he says, "Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face is the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire. And his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude." So Daniel sees a man in his vision that is very similar to the vision John had of Christ in the book of Revelation. And if we go to Revelation chapter 1 and verses 12 through 16, John says, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." However, the indication from verses 11 through 13 in Daniel chapter 10 is that this man is not Jesus, but an angel. So he's seeing a vision, and it's similar to the vision John sees of Christ, but it's really not Christ, it's an angel. At least that's what these verses would indicate, and we'll look at that in a moment. Verse 7 of Daniel chapter 10. "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves." So Daniel had servants. He's been in a very high position in the Persian Empire, and he's retired, and he has a group of servants that stay with him. And so none of them see the vision, but they become terrified. A great quaking fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. "Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face towards the ground." So this voice and its message knocked all the strength out of Daniel. Incidentally, I might point out here that most people in the Bible did not have experiences like this. This is not a normal experience, so you shouldn't be upset if you don't leave here and experience visions and things like this, because it's not a normal thing. Daniel was one of the few people in the Bible that experienced things like this, and really nobody experienced things quite like Daniel did. So it was a unique situation. But this voice and message knocked all the strength out of Daniel. Now, when we want to hear from God, where do we go to hear from God? The Bible, because we've got the Word of God in the Bible. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So this hand reaches out and touches him. He's fallen down. He's in this deep sleep. A hand touches him and sets him up. And now he hears deep words, verses 11 through 21. And the first thing we see in verses 11 through 12 is that an angel is sent to deliver the answer. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent, and when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. So every time Daniel has had one of these visions, he has been affected physically by it. It has made him sick, or in this case, it knocked him down. So now he's standing up and he's trembling because he's been affected by this vision. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So from the first day that Daniel started this semi-fast, from the first day that he started to pray and seek God, this was 3 weeks ago, from the first day God sent the angel to bring him the answer to his prayer. But it had taken 3 weeks. And so that should show us that when we pray, a lot of times God hears us when we pray, but it may take a long time. And with Daniel, even though Daniel was in this special position, he was God's prophet, and God had a message for him to deliver, yet it took 3 weeks for the angel to arrive with the answer. And we see in verse 13 that this angel was hindered by the devil. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. So we learn why Daniel's prayer was not answered immediately. It was not because God didn't hear it, but rather the angel who was sent to deliver the answer was caught up in a battle. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And again, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there are angels and there are demons, and they are in the air. And apparently they are assigned to different kingdoms. And so in this case, you've got the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. So for 21 days, this angel who came to deliver the message was fighting with the prince of Persia, who is a devil, a demon of some kind. Some people think that it was actually Satan himself, but probably just a demon. But this demon who had charge of the kingdom of Persia, and you might think, well, why do demons and angels, why are they assigned to different kingdoms? Well, God has a plan that he's working out on the earth. And in order to work out that plan, he assigns demons and he assigns angels over different countries. And these demons influence the leaders of those countries. And so when God's working out his plan, for instance, if you look at everything that led up to Israel becoming a country today. Now, Israel had been a country, but they, in 70 A.D., they lost their kingdom. And the Middle East didn't have a place for the Jews for many, many centuries. And so what did it take to get the Jews into a country? Well, what it took was the Holocaust. Now, how did the Holocaust happen? Well, you had to have an Adolf Hitler. And how did you get an Adolf Hitler? Well, there had to be a devil, a demon, that was influencing Hitler to do all the things he did. And it was so horrible what was done to the Jews that the nations got together after World War II and after Hitler was defeated and gave the Jews a place in Israel. And so that reestablished Israel as a country. And so this kind of thing goes on. God influences kings. The Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. So God influences leaders and uses angels to do that. And the devil also influences leaders, and demons are used to do that. So the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael's an archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. In verses 14 through 19, we see that the angel arrives to give understanding to Daniel. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. When we read through this entire vision, we will see that this vision goes all the way to the end, to the time of the tribulation. It especially focuses on what would happen in the future to these Jews through the Greek Empire and Antiochus Epiphanes, and then it jumps to the end and talks about the Antichrist. So this was a very important vision, and he's giving Daniel understanding. And in verse 15, we see that Daniel was unable to speak. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face towards the ground and I became dumb. He was mute. And then Daniel expresses his sorrow in verses 16 through 17. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrow are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. So this knocked the breath out of him, this vision of Israel's future. In verses 18 through 19, Daniel is strengthened. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. So this angel just comes and touches him and says, be strong. And sometimes, you know, that's what we need. We need somebody when we're feeling weak and we don't know how we're going to make it. We need somebody to come up and say, be strong. And we need somebody to pray for us. And that's what's going on with this angel. This angel touches him and says, be strong. You're greatly beloved of God. O man greatly beloved, fear not. Don't be afraid. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. And then we see in verse 20 that the angel that is speaking to Daniel goes back to war. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. So he had been fighting with the prince of Persia, and he's going to return to Persia, and the prince of Greece shall come. This foreshadows what will happen in the future, because now the Jews were able to return to their land under the authority of the Persian Empire, that is the empire of the Medes and the Persians. But after that, Greece is coming, and Alexander the Great will defeat the Persian Empire. That's going to be revealed in this vision, and we're going to study that next week. But so he's foreshadowing this. He says, I'm leaving, I'm going back to Persia, and the prince of Grecia shall come. So he's foreshadowing what's going to happen. Persia is going to go away, and Greece is going to come. And that's exactly what happened in history. And then we see letter E, the angel shows the prophecy in verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. So the scripture of truth is either a book of decrees about Israel's future, as some think, or it's Daniel's own prophecies, which were divinely inspired, and other prophecies regarding Israel's future. And I think that's probably the simplest interpretation of this, is when he says, the scripture of truth, I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, that it's talking about Daniel's own prophecies. Because Daniel had prophesied what would happen in the future, he just didn't understand it. He was seeking a deeper understanding of his own prophecies, of his own visions. And so this is going to be an explanation and an expounding on Daniel's own visions. But some think that the scripture of truth is a book that God has that actually gives the decrees that God has for Israel's future. And then he says, but with me, there, no one holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Michael was the archangel assigned to Daniel and the Jews. Traditionally, Michael has been the archangel that protects Israel, that protects God's people. And so this is a very interesting chapter because it shows what happened when Daniel prayed and why this angel was hindered. And by way of conclusion or in conclusion, when you pray and don't get an immediate answer, it's not always because God doesn't hear you. There are spiritual battles going on that we cannot see, and the devil works to hinder the prayers of believers. So believe it or not, when you pray, the devil is working to hinder your prayers. Prayer is not just a simple, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and so on and so forth. Prayer is war. So when we pray, we need to understand that sometimes God hears our prayers, but they're hindered by the devil. You know, Paul said, We were trying to get to you, we were trying to come to you, but Satan hindered us, and so that can happen. We must therefore persevere in prayer like Daniel. If you want your prayers answered, don't pray once, and if it doesn't get answered, give up and think that God doesn't hear or that God doesn't care. But you keep on praying. You do what Daniel did. For 3 weeks, Daniel fasted and prayed for God to answer this. And the angel came with the answer. But when he came, he said, I'm sorry, I left, but I got held up by the prince of Persia. We got in a battle. So we must persevere in prayer like Daniel. Number 3, angels and devils are involved in the affairs of nations. Demonic forces work in governments, and we must wrestle in prayer against these forces. And that's why when we pray for our own country, because we obviously care about our own country more than we care about other places in the world, everybody living in every country, I've traveled all over the world and I've found something to be true, that every person living in their own country cares more about their country than any other place. And so we care more about our own country. And so when we see wicked things going on, understand that those wicked things going on, it's not all about politics. It's a satanic battle that's going on. The desire to kill children, the desire to transition children and cut off their body parts and fill them full of hormones, which is a great medical scandal that's going on in the United States now. And if you don't think that's happening, it really is happening. Slavery that's going on in the United States right now, people being sold into slavery, it's happening. And so we need to pray against those things because there's spiritual warfare going on. So we pray for God to intervene in those things. We need to wrestle against those things in prayer. That's why Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is not with the guy that does abortions, the abortion doctor. Our battle is with the devil. And we pray, and when we pray for God to do things, there's wrestling, there's fighting that's going on that we can't see in the air. It's really a wild thing to think about, but it's happening. And then, number four, God wants to help His people. And sometimes it may come slowly. But remember, God's delays are not always God's denials. God is working out a big picture plan, and we must patiently pray for God's help and deliverance because it will come, but we have to pray for it and we have to be patient. And so Daniel can teach us a lot of things about prayer and about waiting for God. And in the next couple of weeks, we'll see these wonderful prophecies that will be fulfilled, and then we'll get into some Christmas messages, but let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask God to help us to understand these things. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your plan that You're working in the world. We thank You for Your plan You're working with Israel. We thank You for the plan You're working in our lives, in our country. We do pray that You would forgive us for our sins. We do pray that You would answer our prayers. We pray if You'd have us pray some other way, that You would change what we're praying for. But we pray that You would work in our lives, in our situation. And we just pray that the answers would come quickly if possible. And we pray You'd work in all these situations, all these that are hurting, all these that need a touch from You. We pray that You would touch us and do a work in our lives. And for those that have no strength, we pray that like Daniel, You would touch us and give us strength. Give us peace. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray if anyone here is not saved, that today would be the day that they would believe in You as their crucified, buried, and risen Savior and be born again by faith in Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a verse of Amazing Grace.